It's amazing how time passes and a lot of things happen. But we're very honored to be here and thank you for the invitation. I retired, as Pastor mentioned, in 2002. And I had planned to go to the warmer climates and spend the rest of my years on a golf course, which I really like to do. But we knew that the winters were very mild in Kansas. So we came here. Of course, we have children here, and I think my great-grandson expressed it quite well when the neighbor asked him one day when we were visiting, what your grandfather does. He said, "Oh, he's expired." And I had really kind of laid aside all of the old sermon notes and was just enjoying coming to church. I love this church and I love this pastor and wife. And I love you people. And I hope that I don't ruin that today. Back in the early 50s, I was traveling. And I began my ministry traveling as a professional musician, if you can believe that. Now, I don't like to sing. I really don't. Matter of fact, when I was pastoring, I sang one Sunday morning by special request. And that week, three members of the congregation died. And I figured I'd better stop doing that. But I was a professional singer. I was traveling in a quartet. And I was in Minneapolis, and I was watching television back there in the early days of television, and I saw this young lady singing on television. And I said, "I'm going to marry her." Found out who she was. It was Evelyn. And they dated her, and we became husband and wife in 1955. And today I'm going to ask her to come and give us a word, and I'm going to ask her to sing. I know you'll enjoy a song that I've requested. Thank you, Evelyn.
Now, should I tell you the real truth of that story? I think I was the one that said, "I'm going to marry that man." But I don't think he thought so right away. And I never told him either. We're so glad to be here today, and we're glad to have our children with us today, our grandchildren. And I'm going to sing a song to day that says he didn't throw the clay away. Many times within our lives, we might be stubborn and we might be rebellious, but I'm so glad that we have a merciful Savior today, that he never holds it against us, but he always, if we're faithful to come to him and confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I want to sing this for you today. I came back to him, a vessel so unworthy, so scarred with sin. But he did not despair. He started over again, and I blessed the day he didn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions the clay, a vessel of honor just picks up the pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away.
That's a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? That God can look at us and He can see and know that we are something worth salvaging. I look at my own life. I didn't grow up inside of a religious setting at all. Matter of fact, I could probably count on my hand, my fingers, how many times I attended church before I was 10 years old. That was usually for a funeral. But through it all, through the mercy of God, way out there in the rangeland of western South Dakota, God sent an American Sunday School Union a teacher. Came by to have vacation Bible school and preached services in little old country schoolhouse there, 27 miles from the closest town. And we were introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ. One by one, my family came to know the Lord. And eventually, I found the Lord. But I thank God for those days and for the privilege I had of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and knowing that He doesn't throw the clay away. Well, I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of the other side. And if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. I know a lot of times we have overhead, and I didn't give an outline to the people here for that. But if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And I'm going to read a number of verses of Scripture because it gives the setting of the story I want to talk about. You know, Jesus on one occasion looked to His disciples and He said, "Let's go over to the other side." Talking about going to the other side of the lake. And one day as I was reading that, the term "the other side" riveted in my spirit. And I began to think about it. Yeah, there's always another side to something. Today in the athletic world, all kinds of football teams are going to line up in the playoffs. And you probably picked a side if you're a football fan. But there's another side. I have friends that are very serious about which side they've picked. They wear jackets and they visit the teams. Games, and they get upset if their team doesn't win and the other side wins. But everybody takes a side, unless you're like that fella in the Civil War. He decided he wanted to be neutral, so he went off to battle and he wore a blue jacket and a gray pair of pants. He was doing okay until the blue people started shooting at his pants. And the great people started shooting at his jacket. And he made up his mind in a hurry that he didn't want to be neutral anymore. He was going to pick a side. The verse of scripture we're going to read is found in Mark's Gospel chapter 4 to begin with. And I'm going to start reading in verse 35. And bear with me as I'm reading. I have new eyes. I've recently had my cataracts removed and they've given me a brand new set of eyes and I'm having an interesting time adjusting to that. I also have a new hip and I'm adjusting to that. So don't worry, my brain is still the same, but I may need a new one before I'm through with that too. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Then starting in verse 1 of chapter 5, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the sea or out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission. And the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. And as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. And may God add his blessing to the reading of the word. On one occasion, I was traveling to a speaking engagement, and I came upon a man alongside the road that was hitchhiking. He had a hat that looked like something the Three Musketeers would wear, with a big feather sticking out of it. He had leather boots that went above his knees, and he had a big grin on his face. And I said to myself, I got to talk to this guy. So I stopped and picked him up, got him in the car, and before I had a chance to say anything, he looked at me and he said, "Are you a born-again Christian?" Well, I was taken aback because that's why I was going to pick him up. And I said, "What do you mean?" And in less time than it would have taken me, he gave me the four spiritual laws and told me how to get saved. I finally said, "Yes, I am." Well, he said, "That's wonderful. Now," he said, "let me ask you another question. Are you spirit-filled?" Well, I said, "What do you mean?" And in less time than it would take me, he went on to explain how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Ghost, with the gifts of the Spirit in operation in your life, and the power of God demonstrated. And I said, "Yeah, I got that too." Well, he said, "Then you're my brother." And he said, "You're wondering why I'm dressed like this, aren't you?" I said, "Sure am. That's why I picked you up." He said, "I'm an evangelist." And he said, "I'm traveling across the country, going from one university to another." And he said, "When I get on the campus, every nut on the campus follows me, and I tell him about Jesus." He said, "I'm just coming from the University of Colorado, and I'm going to the University of Minnesota." And he said, "I needed a ride, and you happened to pick me up." Well, I was blessed by that man, and I thought, isn't it wonderful that God can use different type of people for his work? Jesus, on one occasion, looked at his disciples and he said, "Let's go to the other side." So they get in the boat, and about that time he turns to one of the disciples. You say, "That's not in the Bible." Well, the Bible not only reveals things, but the Bible also conceals some things. So you got to have a little imagination when you read the scripture. So Jesus looks at his disciple and says, "Would you go get my suitcase?" So he runs and gets his suitcase and brings it in the boat. Jesus goes back and lays it at the back part of the boat, uses it sort of a pillow, and he goes to sleep. You see, they're going to the other side. And as they're sailing along, all of a sudden, something happens. The portion of scripture we read said a furious squall arose. It was a storm. Now, most of these men had sailed that sea most of their lives. They were acquainted with the lake. They were acquainted with sailing. They were fishermen. They were acquainted with storms. But this day, they encountered a storm that was different than any other storm they'd ever been in. Why? Because they were going to go to the other side. And on the other side of the lake, we read about a certain man that was there. Probably the most demonized man that ever lived on the face of the earth. He's a microcosm of the world in its need without God. That man, if we're going to read into the story, had probably 6,000 demons, because they said they were a legion, and that was several thousand. And here this man is in that horrible condition, but Jesus said, "Let's go over to the other side." Jesus knew Satan's trophy was there. Jesus was going to go to the other side. Now, as that storm arose, Jesus was sleeping. That's the beautiful thing about the scripture. It tells us about Christ. He was human. He's resting. You read the portions of scripture just before that, it said he had been in a crusade going into every village and community, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And he had a traveling group with him. I'm sure that his energy had been expended and he was tired. So he's resting now. And as he's sleeping, the storm is so furious. Water begins to fill the boat, and they're about ready to sink. Now, what would you do if you were in that boat? Well, I can tell you what I'd do. I'd try to get the water out of it if it was coming in. So I'd use every means possible. If I had a bucket, I'd use it. If I had my hands, I'd use it. I can see these disciples working furiously to keep that boat from sinking. And about that time, I have an idea. They got into some discussion about the situation. And so one by one, we can begin to look at them and imagine what they might have been thinking or saying. Perhaps Peter was often known for speaking out, said, "You know, I've sailed this sea most of my life, guys, and this storm is going to blow over. So let's just hang steady here." Well, this wasn't an ordinary storm. And about that time, another disciple spoke up, and he said, "You know, last summer, I attended a sailing seminar, and they told us what to do when you're in the middle of the lake and the storm comes up and the boat is filling with water and you're about to sink." But he said, "For the life of me, I can't remember what they told us." And about that time, another disciple said, "You know, we should have gotten a new boat. I told you that this thing wasn't going to last in many storms, and we should have spent some money and gotten this new boat." And someone else spoke up and said, "Well, if we hadn't have followed this leader, we wouldn't have been in this boat." Someone else said, mentioning the leader, "Why don't we go talk to him? See what we can do." So they come to Jesus and they awaken him and they say, "Jesus, we're about to perish." And Jesus, he stands up and he says, "Where is your faith?" Well, maybe their faith was in the circumstances that it would pass away. Maybe their faith was in the boat. Maybe their faith was in other boats that were nearby. Some were probably thinking about bailing out and heading for some of those other boats. Their faith may have been in a lot of different things. But Jesus was saying, in essence, "You need to have faith in me." And about that time, he talks to the wind and the wave and he says, "Be quiet, peace, be still." And just like that, there was a calm. And I have an idea. Jesus said, "Now you boys can take the water and empty it out of this boat." And they made their way to the other side. They come to the other side, and immediately they see this disheveled, naked man, emaciated. His body is torn from cutting himself with rocks, and he's filthy, and he's the epitome of neglect. And he comes to Jesus, and the demons speak through the man, and they say, "Jesus, have you come to torment us?" And I love this. I have an idea that Jesus said, "Yes, that's why I'm here." Now that's an amazing thing, isn't it? The devils are saying, "Jesus, have you come to torment us?" You see, the devil's in the business of tormenting people. And I meet a lot of people who say, "Oh, pray for me, the devil's been tormenting me." And it's true, he can and he will. But this story says it's possible to torment the devil. And I'd rather be the one tormenting the devil than the one being tormented by the devil. Now, Jesus begins to talk to the man, and all of a sudden, those demons begin to negotiate with Jesus. They know that Jesus is going to cast them out of the man. So they say to Jesus, "Don't consign us to the deep." Sooner or later, that's what's going to happen to all the devil and his cohorts. And Satan knows that. So they say to Jesus, "Let us go into the pigs." There's a herd of 2,000 hogs there. Now, if the man has 6,000 demons, my arithmetic says there's three devils for each hog. So Jesus said, "Sure." So he casts the devil out, and they go into the hogs. And what happens? It amazes me. The hogs would rather die than have what the man had. Think about that for a minute. You know, I grew up on a farm. I grew up around animals. But there's something about the animal world that sometimes shows more intelligence than the human world. I never saw two boar pigs fall in love and run off together. Never saw two cows do that. I never saw a horse get a long needle and shoot itself in the leg to get high. I've seen a lot of people do things like that. You see, it's amazing, isn't it? And those hogs would rather die and have what that man had. And they ran to the edge of the cliff and they jumped over. You know what they did? They committed suicide. End of that. I'll tell you something. Those demons are still around someplace. I don't know. But they don't want to mess with Jesus, because he controls them. Now, about this time, Jesus, he says to the men, "Go to the boat and get my suitcase." So they go to the boat and get the suitcase. He opens it up. There's soap and wash rag. The man takes a bath. He has some shaving cream and a razor. He shaves. He has some clothes there. The man is completely clothed. And I mean, he smells with the perfume that they put on him. He looks elegant. And he's in his right mind and he's normal. And when the crowd comes out, they're amazed because they see the man is dressed. That's why you had to have a suitcase there. Because where'd he get those clothes from? Jesus always supplies our need. Now that man, let me tell you about him for just a moment. He's an example of what the devil will do to people. You read the fine print. It says he lost his self-respect. He was abusing himself. He was homeless. He was disheveled. He didn't have anything. No man could control him. He would have been a perfect example for psychiatry. You see, he was the devil's prize. The devil had messed him up. But Jesus came to the other side. I love that story because it reminds me that Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday. And Jesus that went to the other side comes to where people are today. If you have a need today, maybe you feel you're a long way from the Lord, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming your way. Now there may be a storm that comes up, but hang on. The wind and the waves obey him when he comes to the other side. A friend of mine was flying on a plane, 30,000 some feet in the air, going from the East Coast to the West Coast. He looked across the aisle and he saw a man on the other side. Something spoke to him, go over, talk to that man. He went to where the man was. The man looked up and gave him a get lost look. But he sat down and he said, I just felt directed to come over and talk to you. And he began to share with the man what the Lord had done for him and what the Lord could do for this man if he'd let him. And as they engaged in conversation, the man began to open up and finally, in the process of time, received Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Then after he had surrendered his life to Christ, he looked at my friend and said, do you know what you've done by coming across the aisle and talking to me? He said, you saved the lives of three people. He went on to explain that he was an executive of a large toy company franchise. And 6 months before this, he and his wife had gotten into a furious argument and she'd thrown him out of the house and said she didn't want to see him again. If he ever came back, she'd shoot him. And he said, I couldn't live without her. He said, I was flying home with every intention of going to the house and shooting my wife and shooting my daughter and shooting myself. He said, I had the plans all made. But he said, what we needed was Jesus. It's so clear now. He said, I've got to share this story with my wife. So when they landed in L.A., he told his friend, he said, here's my phone number. I want you to call this number at 4 o'clock, I think the time was. He said, and if you don't get an answer, then call the police and tell them to go to this address. My friend went to his room. He prayed and waited. At 4 o'clock, he called the number. And the man on the other end answered and said, John, you're not going to believe this. He said, when I came to the door and rang the doorbell, I had every intention before I met Christ to just shoot kill my wife and daughter. But now I came to tell them about Jesus, expecting I might get shot. But instead, my daughter answered the door and she said, Daddy, where have you been? We've been trying to get a hold of you. Mom and I went to the little church down around the corner. And we found Jesus. And we know that Jesus is the answer. And that family that day knelt in that living room, rejoicing in the fact that Jesus had come to where they were. And today, they're actively involved in the church and Assembly of God Church in Los Angeles, California. Because somebody went to the other side. Oh, there's such a hunger for God. And sometimes storms will arise that prevent us. I was flying in from Europe a number of years ago, and I missed the flight in New York City. And so I had to stay overnight in Kennedy Airport. And I was so disappointed because I didn't like the idea of having to stay overnight. And so I decided just to sit in the airport and just wait the night out. And as I was sitting there, all of a sudden, I saw a young lady across the room. Her and I were the only two people in that room because everybody else had gone. Something said, go over, talk to her. So I went over to where she was, and she looked rather frightened. I suppose she was 19 or 20 years old. I said, I felt led to come and talk to you. I said, I just wanted to share. I said, I'm a minister. She looked up and in broken English said, you are a minister? She said, I have come to America to find God. And she told her story. She'd come in from South America, had a hunger for God, and something said, go up to New York. And she'd flown in there, landed, missed her plane. I missed my plane. She was trying to find God, led her to the Lord, and sent her to a teen challenge in upstate New York. Because Jesus came to the other side. Friends, that's the purpose of the Scripture. That's the purpose of Jesus today. To come to where we are. And if I have one message I leave with you this morning, it's this. The mission to the church and the mission to each one of you that know Christ is to go to the other side. Thank you, and God bless you.